May the Lord hasten the time when the Spirit of grace and of supplication will be poured out upon them, and when they shall look upon him whom they pierce. During our stay at Jerusalem, I held many meetings in German and in English, and preached repeatedly in both these languages, with interpretation into Arabic. Twice also I addressed the patients in a hospital for lepers outside the city, where there were 14 men and 6 women afflicted with leprosy. 1882. On February 1st, we returned to Joppa in order to pursue our journey thence by sea to Haipah and Beirut. At Joppa, I preached again repeatedly to the Germans, and on February the 8th, we embarked for Haipah, that I might labor there in the midst of another German colony. This little town is beautifully situated at the foot of Mount Carmel and is close to the seashore. During the 12 days we were there, I preached 14 times, and the Lord was graciously pleased to grant a special blessing upon these services. On the Monday after our arrival, we rode on donkeys to the top of Mount Carmel. On February 20th, we sailed for Beirut, Syria. Here, we stayed 21 days. In addition to my preaching many times in German and in English, or in English and in German with an Arabic interpretation, I addressed the students also of the college, the theological students, and had 3 meetings with Christian workers. We were very kindly received by the brethren and sisters connected with the American mission in this city, the Scotch mission, the German pastor, the deaconess, and by English laborers in the Lord's service. On March 14th, we left Beirut by a steamer for Smyrna in Asia Minor, where we arrived on March 18th. At Smyrna, I found work immediately on our arrival, and during our stay, preached on the Lord's Day twice, and every day in the week once or twice, either in English or in German. Also several times with interpretation into the Armenian and Turkish languages and into modern Greek. Also once with Spanish translation when addressing a congregation of Spanish Jews. While at Smyrna, we spent part of one day in going by rail to Ephesus, where we saw a number of very ancient ruins. On April 6th, we left Smyrna for Constantinople, where we arrived on the 8th. During our stay there, I preached 18 times within the 12 days that we remained. Twice, I particularly addressed the Jews, and I had 6 opportunities of addressing hundreds of Jewish children in schools connected with the London Missionary Society to the Jews or the Scotch Missions to the Jews. These meetings were either in German, English, and French, or with Turkish interpretation. On April 21st, we left Constantinople for Athens and arrived there on April 23rd. During the 10 days we were at Athens, we preached 12 times in English, but always with interpretation into modern Greek. I had also the opportunity of addressing 275 and 155 prisoners in 2 different prisons, having obtained permission from the Attorney General so to do. While at Athens, we visited the ruins, Mars Hill, stood on the spot where Paul preached, and saw the ruins of many former idol temples, some of which are nearly 4,000 years old. The difficulties of missionaries in Greece are greater than in Turkey, as they have not the same amount of liberty for service as in that country. The Greek government allows no schools to be established where priests of the Greek church cannot go to give religious instruction. And this, of course, greatly hinders our missionary brethren in their service. I commend this matter to the attention of Christians and would ask them to pray for the evangelical missionaries in Greece may be entirely free from the priests of the Greek church. On May 3rd, we left Athens for Brindisi and went from thence to Rome. In the latter city, we arrived on May 8th and stayed till the 19th. In Rome, I preached 12 times. With reference to the work of God in Rome, it seems to have increased considerably, and the liberty which missionaries have is almost as great in every way as can be desired. On our way back to England, we also visited Florence for a short time, where I had labored twice before, 3 years ago. There I had 5 very happy, precious meetings. This closed my 8th preaching tour. And looking back on my service during this 8th long preaching tour, I had abundant reason to be grateful to the Lord for the honor He had bestowed upon me in allowing me thus to labor for Him. And I have also reason to believe that my labors have been owned by Him. 9th tour, Germany, Austria, Hungary, Bohemia, Russia, and Poland. August 8, 1882 to June 1st, 1883. Last year was full of a variety of difficulties and trials in connection with this institution, and in particular with respect to funds. Clinging to the Lord and His Word was the only thing to sustain us. This, by His grace, and only by His grace, were we able to do. And thus it was that we were not overpowered by the trial of faith. We considered that, not in displeasure, far less than anger, and for the purpose of confounding us, but only for the trial of our faith and patience, and that we might learn the lesson which our Heavenly Father meant to teach us, we were thus dealt with. Further help from Him was confidently expected, and brighter days even regarding means. And during the past year, it has been seen that we did not trust in the Lord in vain. A few Christian friends who wished well to the institution desired me to discontinue my long missionary tour, as it appeared to them that that was the special reason why the income had fallen off. I did not think so, however, because year after year for several months at a time, the Scriptural Knowledge Institution had been left during my absence under the godly and able direction of Mr. Wright, assisted by a staff of very efficient helpers, and whenever I returned to Bristol, I found that each branch of the institution was in as good working order as if I had been on the spot during the whole year myself, which for the last 41 years after the founding of it was the case. This fact, therefore, was looked upon by me as God's approval of my continuing to go on spending the evening of my life in preaching Christ in other cities and countries also, and of my seeking to help on individual Christians or assemblies of them with the experience and knowledge He had been pleased to give me during more than half a century that I have known Him. I consider further that Mr. Wright had the opportunity of availing himself of my judgment in difficult cases should he need it, as I generally hear once every week from him, if not more frequently, and I knew that God, on whom I wait continually in these matters, would have me go on with my missionary tours, because I could help by prayer and counsel when at a distance, as well as if in Bristol. And lastly, I never considered it necessary that I should be at home in order that we might be supplied with means. For the third year after I had commenced my missionary tours, we had a larger income for the various departments than we had ever had during the previous 41 years. I had therefore, for these reasons, to leave unnoticed, apparently the loving advice of a few donors to remain in Bristol on account of the falling off of the funds, and had practically to show what I had repeatedly stated before in the reports, that real trust in God is above circumstances and appearances. On August 8th, after much prayer, I set out again, accompanied by my dear wife, on my 9th great missionary tour. And the result has proved, in a way, that only in the day of Christ will be fully made manifest, that I was especially helped by God and used, particularly in Russia and in Russian Poland. The first place at which I preached was Weymouth, where I spoke in public 4 times. From Weymouth we went by way of Tallius and Brussels to Dorsendorf on the Rhine. From Dorsendorf we went to Neukirchen and then to Mohem, and R-U-H-R, where I addressed assemblies from 1600 to 1800 3 times, very many of whom are truly godly persons. From Mohem, we went to Westbachten, where I preached 8 times. One of these meetings was especially for Christian workers. After we had left Westbachten, we went to Mannheim, where I preached 4 times. Heidelberg was our next place. I preached there 5 times in the church, in which I preached repeatedly 6 years before. Our next place for service was Munich, the capital of the kingdom of Bavaria. after I had preached several times at Munich, we went to Vienna, where, notwithstanding difficulties and the amount of the want of religious liberty in Austria, I had the joy of being able to preach 13 times, both in halls and at churches, and a few times also in English at the Presbyterian Church. For up to this time, all my preaching on the continent had been in German, as it had been at Munich, so it was also at Vienna. Through the highest ecclesiastical functionaries of the evangelical churches in the empire, who knew about my life and labors, I obtained openings for service. If an extra service is to be held at Vienna, in any church or hall, notice of this must be given 3 days beforehand to the police. Otherwise, the meeting is not allowed. Are Christians in England and everywhere truly grateful for the religious liberty they enjoy? And are they praying that it may be continued to them? From Vienna, Mr. Mueller wrote a letter to the children in the orphan houses to thank them for the birthday presents they had given him. The original letter in his own handwriting has been kept. It is as follows. Vienna, October 13, 1882. Beloved children, I have received your letters and now write to thank you for the good wishes and congratulations for my birthday, which they contain. I am also much obliged for your kind presence and money, and especially accept them as contributions towards our traveling expenses for these long missionary journeys which we take. Mrs. Mueller joins me also in thanking the dear girls in number 2 for the knitted counterpanel they made for us, which, though we have not seen yet, we shall no doubt admire and find very useful. We have heard that you greatly enjoyed the holidays which you had for a week at the end of September, including the 27th of that month, and I take this opportunity of telling you all that you are indebted solely to Mrs. Mueller for them, as it was at her particular request that I consented to allow you to have those few days, in addition to your holidays, at other times in the year. Vienna, where we are now, as many of you know, is the capital of the Empire of Austria. Almost all the people in this empire, with the exception of a very small number comparatively, are Roman Catholics. In this large city, containing more than 1,200,000 inhabitants, there is only one single Sunday school. Sunday schools are not allowed in this country, and this only one which exists is held in an English chapel. How thankful, beloved children, should you be that you are entirely in a different position. You can continually hear of the way of salvation, which is not the case in this country. No one is allowed to circulate tracts. If anyone does so, he will either to pay a heavy fine or is put in prison. From here, we purpose to go to Hungary, God willing, where things are not better. Now, I give to those of you who love our Lord Jesus a subject for prayer. It is more than 64 years since I was at Kroppenstanze, where I was born, and more than 41 years since I was at Helmslippen, where I was brought up. In neither of these two small towns had I ever an opportunity to preach, and it especially laid on my heart to do so. Next month, if the Lord permit, I purpose to carry out my intentions, and I desire that you would entreat God to bless this my service. In particular, as in both places, they are not 10 Christians altogether. Mrs. Mueller and I write in love to you all, dear boys and girls, your fatherly friend, George Mueller. My labors in the Word in Europe, America, Africa, and Asia have hitherto been in 17 different countries, but now, having entered Austria, we were in the 18th country and entered afterwards into the 19th by going to Pest, P-E-S-T-H, the capital of Hungary, through Pest, as well as Vienna, and Munich is full of popery, and the Protestants are a very small proportion only. Yet in Hungary, there is something more liberty than in Vienna. While at Pest, I preached 9 times. After we had left Pest, and we went to Prague, Bohemia, here, too, there is very little religious liberty. Yet the Lord allowed me, even there, the joy of laboring for Him in word and doctrine. I preached 6 times at Prague, 4 times in English-speaking congregations, and twice with Bohemian translation. Our next place of worship was Dresden, the capital of the kingdom of Saxony, where I preached 3 times, and then went to Leipzig, where I preached 4 times and addressed about 200 students at the university with some of their professors. After this, I had the great joy and precious privilege of preaching the gospel twice at Kroppenstand, the little town where I was born, which I had not seen for about 64 years. Here I held meetings in the largest hall to be had, at the parish church, where under repair and could not be used, and was greatly aided in this service by an excellent Christian minister of the place. The result of these two meetings was precious. They will bear fruit to the praise of God, and I will rejoice at having been permitted in my 78th year to bear witness there also for the Lord. On the day we left Kroppenstein, we proceeded to Berlin, where I preached 15 times altogether. After having left Berlin, we went to Danzig, D-A-N-T-Z-I-C, where I obtained permission from the commandant of this large fortified town to preach in a garrison church, and did so several times. I preached also 3 times at the Church of the Moravian Brethren, and once at the Baptist Chapel. All the meetings were well attended. In this city I found 2 aged Christian brethren, who, 56 years ago, were my Christian university friends at Haley. Both of them had been more than 50 years ministers at Danzig, and had celebrated their jubilee as pastors of churches. I had very happy intercourse with them. Our next visit was at Konigsberg, on our way to St. Petersburg. Here, I preached twice at a large hall, 3 times at the Church of the Moravian Brethren, and 3 times at Traghemer Church, an exceedingly large building where I had 3,000 hearers. Every seat was occupied and a number of persons had to stand. The gospel is faithfully preached in this church by 2 excellent ministers who treated me with great affection. Here, as everywhere, blessing, I doubt not, was the result of my labors. On December 29th, after leaving the city, we began our journey into Russia, and in 30 hours on the evening of December 30th, arrived at St. Petersburg, where we were met at the station by Colonel Paskoff, P-A-S-C-H-K-O-F-F, one of the most active Christians in the whole vast empire, and Princess Lavia, who both welcomed us affectionately. The latter invited us most kindly to her house, but as we rarely accept invitations to stay with friends, because I require as much rest and time to myself as possible, we declined the proposal and went to a hotel, where we remained 2 nights. Finding, however, that the princess greatly desired we should be her guest, and that she would have been much disappointed if we had continued to refuse her kind offer of hospitality, on January 1st, 1883, we went to her mansion and were most kindly entertained there for upwards of 11 weeks. On Sunday, December 31st, I preached 2 times at the British and American Chapel in English, and during our stay with the princess, was able not only to labor for the Lord in the way I was accustomed to do at all the places that we visit, but had frequent intercourse also with persons of high rank, whom I sought to benefit spiritually. This was unsought for on my part, but the Lord opened deeply important service for me in this manner, which I doubt not will be found in the day of Christ to have been helpful not only to those dear Christians among whom I more particularly labored, publicly and privately, but also through them to many others in the vast times in German at the Reformed Church and at the Moravian Church, and at the British American Chapel in English, held many large drawing room meetings, had meetings for Christian workers, preached to the Swedes, etc. In all, I was occupied with 112 services or meetings, either in preaching or more particularly in teaching, and gave addresses also at the breaking of bread on the morning of the Lord's Day. So precious was all this work and so magnificently owned of God that I could only admire him for allowing me to labor, as I was allowed to do. Again and again our Christian friends at St. Petersburg told me that God knew their need and that just at the right time he sent me to them. The pastors of the Reformed Church, of the Moravian Church, and of the English Church showed me great kindness, and I had open doors for service given to me by them. Summons before the director of police. Christians who seek to labor for the Lord in Russia do so under peculiar difficulties, as there is very little real religious liberty in that country. I mention this in order that the children of God may give themselves to prayer and ask the Lord graciously to open that vast empire for the spread of the truth more fully. When we arrived at St. Petersburg, I could only preach in English because the British American Chapel has no connection with the state. After about 12 days, however, through application by friends to the ministers of the interior, I obtained permission to preach at the German churches in St. Petersburg and also to the Swedes, with translation, in the British Chapel. The written document from the Minister of the Interior was in Rush, which neither I nor the friends who handed it to me understood, so they only told me that the desired permission had been granted. Very soon, however, after I had begun to hold meetings in a large drawing room at Colonel Paskoff's house, one of them with translation into Rush, I was ordered to appear before the director of the police in St. Petersburg and told that I had gone beyond my permission. After this, the meetings at Colonel Paskoff's house had to be given up. This dear brother in the Lord is followed everywhere. From his own country house near Moscow, he was banished because he expounded the scriptures to the poor. He held meetings in his own house at St. Petersburg, which were attended habitually by from 1,000 to 1,300 persons. These were stopped. And at present he is not allowed to have more than 20 persons at his meetings. He was banished from St. Petersburg also, as well as from Moscow. And during our visit, when reading the scriptures one day in Rush, with seven poor Russians, a policeman entered the room, broke up the meeting, and ordered the poor people to leave the house. This was done to a Christian lady also, who was in the habit of reading the scriptures to a few Russian peasants. Pray, pray, dear Christian readers, for Russia, that God, in the riches of his grace, may give real religious liberty in that country. After our departure from St. Petersburg, we left for Warsaw, the capital of Russia, Russian Poland, where I held six meetings only, and then we went to the neighborhood of Pruszka. Here I preached once at the hall of the Orphan Institute, and from there we proceeded to Lodz, the second largest city in Russia, Poland, which is full of manufacturers. My service began on a Wednesday evening at 8:30, but though this hour seemed unfavorable, I found the chapel at which I preached crowded to the utmost, and about 150 persons had to stand during the whole service, although there were about 1,200 persons present. On Thursday and Friday evenings, it was the same. On Saturday, it was necessary to give opportunity for the chapel to be cleaned, and there was no meeting. On Sunday, twice, the place was again crowded as before, and so it was on Monday evening. By this time, I had heard from the pastor, from a Christian colporter, and from others, that almost the whole town seemed moved by my preaching, and that it was the topic of conversation at many of the manufacturers of the city, at the public houses, and in families generally. I was told also that on the previous evening, a number of freethinkers, as they are called, viz. Skeptics or infidels, had been at the meeting and left melted to tears. The next morning I received a note in German, of which the following is a translation. I, and almost the whole population of this town, in the name of the Lord Jesus, entreat that you will have the kindness to remain with us until after next Sunday. In the name of many thousands, I thank you for your ministry. The crowds who came at first continue to attend all the meetings, and at the 12th service, the number of persons present was as large as it was at the beginning. That is to say, there were about 1,200, as many as could possibly be accommodated. There is good reason to believe that the Spirit of God worked mightily among them. We should gladly have stayed longer, but other work obliged me to leave LODZ. On our way to England, I preached once more at Dresden, and in London the neighborhood 11 times before going to Bristol, where we arrived on June 1st. 10th tour, India, from September 26, 1883 to June 5, 1884. Soon after my conversion in November 1825, it was my desire to go to the East Indies as a missionary. But as my father would not give his consent to this, no missionary society in Germany could receive me. After this, within the first 8 years after my conversion, I offered myself four times more solemnly and prayerfully to the Lord for the same service. But the more I prayed, the more manifest it was that I should remain in England and not go to India, because he had other work for me to do. But now, in the 79th year of my life, after 50 years had passed away since I last offered myself to the Lord for missionary work in India, he allowed me to carry out my desire and to add to all my other missionary tours in Europe, America, Africa, and Asia during the last 9 years the joy of going to India also. My special object in going to that district land was to encourage the beloved missionary brethren and sisters who labor under a burning sun and to strengthen their hands in God. Before setting out for India, I accepted an invitation to attend the Perth and Dundee conferences in September 1883, where I spoke in public many times. On September 26, 1883, my dear wife and myself left Gravesend in the steamship Siam. In our feeble measure, we sought to witness for the Lord on board. I preached three times, taking turns with the Presbyterian minister. On reaching Colombo, a Christian gentleman came to meet and take us on shore, where we found his carriage waiting to convey us to the house of Mr. Ferguson because the steamer was going to anchor for about 28 hours at Colombo. In the afternoon, we visited the mission school, while I addressed 30 native girls, and in the evening, there was a meeting at Mr. Ferguson's house, to which between 40 and 50 Christian gentlemen and ladies had been invited. Among these, there were about 30 missionary brethren and sisters, whom I addressed for an hour, particularly with reference to their service. These missionaries were of various denominations. It was a very happy, profitable meeting, and our friends greatly regretted that we could not remain longer. On October 30, 1883, we landed at Madrid, where Mr. Frederick Bolden met and conducted us to the house of Monsignor Frank, who, with his sisters, received and entertained us during the whole of our stay, and showed us the utmost kindness. While in Madrid, I preached 26 times, held two meetings for educated natives, two for Christian workers, and had one meeting especially for missionaries, at which I spoke to about 40 missionary brethren and sisters. One of the meetings for educated natives was attended by 400 young men, many of whom were lawyers. They listened with marked attention. After having been 3 weeks in Madras, we left for Bangalore, and when there, stayed at the house of Colonel Walton. At Bangalore, I preached eight times during our 9 days visit, held one meeting for the educated natives, and spoke to many missionary brethren and sisters, gathered at the house of one of their number. On November 30th, we left Bangalore for Kolar, a native town of 10,000 inhabitants, to visit Miss Anstey's orphan institution, where during our stay of 30 hours, I spoke three times to 350 native boys, girls, young men, and young women, with their many helpers and teachers. We were greatly increased in this work, which commenced during the dreadful famine of 1877, when hundreds of poor, starving children were taken up and cared for. From cholera, we proceeded to Coimbatore, And after I had preached twice there to Europeans and Euro-Asians, and once to educated natives, we went on to Kunur on the Nigeria hills, where during a stay of 13 days, we were most highly entertained by our dear friends, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Stans. While there, I held 15 meetings. After leaving Kunur, we spent 4 days at Otekaman, where I conducted 5 services. While on the Nigeri hills, 7,700 feet above the level of the sea, for 2 days and a half, we were constantly in the clouds. 1884, from the hills, we returned to Madras in order to go by steamer to Calcutta, and went on board the TEHERAM. I preached twice during our voyage. On our arrival at Calcutta, we were met by Mr. S-O-U-T-T-A-R, who very kindly took us to his house, and with his missus did all that Christian kindness could do to make us comfortable. While staying in Calcutta, the capital of the vast empire of India, which in appearance resembles some of the largest and finest capitals of Europe, I preached 19 times. Once out of doors in Wellington Square, I addressed a company of natives, spoke to a religious native devotee in one of the streets, who was surrounded by many Hindus, addressed educated natives twice in 2 of the large colleges, preached once to natives with translation into Hindustani, addressed a meeting of 60 missionaries, held a second meeting for 70 pastors and missionaries, spoke to 78 ladies connected with the ZENANA missions, and attended the breaking of the bread at the Gospel Hall. Many Episcopalian clergymen, as well as ministers of the various denominations, were present at the meetings and took part in them. This was also the case at Madras and Kunur and OOTACAMUND. From Calcutta, we went to Darjeeling on the Himalayas, about 8,000 feet above the level of the sea, where I preached 5 times during our stay of 6 days and conversed a good deal with various Christians. The cold was severe and was felt by us all the more after experiencing the heat of the Red Sea and of Madras. On the 5th day of our stay at Darjeeling, the sky was clear enough for us to see the highest mountain range in the world, which is perpetually covered with snow. The amazing grandeur and magnificence of this mountain range will never be erased from the mind of any God-fearing person who has seen it. From Darjeeling, we went back to Calcutta and then started for Bankrapura, Patna, where we stayed at a mission house. But here I only expounded the scriptures twice and conversed about the things of God without preaching publicly, as no arrangements had been made for public meetings. From Bankrapura, we went to Dinapore, where I had 4 very happy services, which were attended by many soldiers as well as others, because Dinapore is a military station. His spirit stirred by idolatry at Benares. From Dinapore, we went to Benares, having accepted a most affectionate invitation from Dr. and Mrs. Hewlett of the London Missionary Society to stay at their house, accompanied by an earnest request that I would preach at Benares. Of all the places we had seen up to this time, none showed to us the awful character of idolatry, and especially of Hindu idolatry, as Benares did. Benares is to the 200 million of Hindus of India what Rome is to the Papists. It is the sacred city of Hindus. In this one city, containing about 200,000 inhabitants, there are 1,550 idol temples and 250 mosques, the latter being Muhammad places of worship. Its sacred wells and tanks and the bathing places on the left bank of the Ganges, and especially the many hundreds of schools of Hindu literature and philosophy in which 25,000 pundits teach, give to Benares great renown, and millions of deluged pilgrims in order to ensure salvation go to this city at least once in their lives. We visited one of these seats of Sanskrit philosophy and found 450 young men besides older persons, chiefly Brahmins, Brahmins, especially engaged in studying under the famous Pudits. There are also about 500 Mohammedan schools in Benaras, which is eminently the city of learning for the natives of India. While there, we saw thousands of poor, deluded Hindus bathing in the Ganges before they entered their idol temples. Three dead human bodies, too, were floating down the Ganges. They had been thrown in by persons not sufficiently well off to incur the expense of burying their dead. Of these bodies, crows were perched feeding upon their flesh. A second time we saw two other dead bodies in the Ganges in a different part of the river. Likewise, two corpses carried to the riverside to be burned. At other times, large piles of burning wood were visible in the distance, consuming the bodies of the dead. The impression produced in our minds by all we witnessed of the utter blindness and delusion of these poor idolaters was one of lively gratitude to God for what he had done for us in the gift of his only begotten Son, and filled us with compassion for these poor deluded souls, such as we had never felt before. Christians, cry mightily to God for India. At Benares, we had preached three times, addressing 150 educated natives also, and spoke to 51 missionary brethren and sisters. From Benares, we went to Allahabad and stayed there 6 days, during which time I held 7 meetings and expounded the scriptures 8 times to 12 ladies connected with the ZENANA missions. From Allahabad, we went to Lucknow, where I preached 5 times, expounded the scriptures 5 times also, to a number of Zenana teachers, and addressed 100 native girls. From Lucknow, we went to Kanpur, where I preached 4 times, gave addresses to 2 educational establishments, and had a meeting with 80 Christian workers, many missionary brethren and sisters being among them, whom I addressed on their service for the Lord. On March 15th, we left Kanpur for Agra and stayed there 5 days. At Agra, I preached 8 times and held 1 meeting for missionaries and Christian workers. From Agra, we went on to March 20th to Lahore in the Punjab and stayed for 10 days at the government house, having been kindly invited by Sir Charles Atkinson, Lieutenant Governor of the Punjab, to visit him. While at Lahore, I preached 7 times, held a meeting for 70 Christian workers and missionaries, and had a meeting also for 500 educated natives. Our stay at Lahore was both pleasant and profitable. I found that Sir Charles Atkinson, like myself, had studied at the University of Halle in Prussia, and that he knew well some of my oldest and dearest German Christian friends, which in a peculiar manner endeared this Christian gentleman to my heart. After leaving Lahore, our next resting place was Delhi, where we arrived at 3 p.m. on April 1st. While ordering a carriage to drive us to an hotel, a letter was handed to my dear wife inviting us to take our abode at Lalo Castle, the residence of the commissioner, where Mr. and Mrs. Tremlett did all they possibly could to make our stay agreeable. At Delhi, I preached once to a company of soldiers at the fort, and had a private meeting with 4 Cambridge missionaries during the 3 days that we remained. Having left Delhi at 3:20 p.m. on April 4th, we arrived at Ajmere on the 5th at noon, and went by invitation to the house of Dr. Husband, a Scotch medical missionary residing there. During the 3 days we were at Ajmere, I preached twice. On April 8th, we left for MHOW, Central India, having been invited by the General Sir Robert, spelled Payre, a well-known Christian gentleman, to rest at his house and break our long journey to Bombay. At MHOW, I had 6 meetings, and we had most pleasant intercourse with the General and his son, Captain Prayi, both very decided Christians. On April the 14th at 11:45 p.m., we left for Pune. Arrived there on the 16th at 3 p.m. and went to the mission house where Mr. and Mrs. Beaumont, missionaries of the Free Church of Scotland, reside, who had kindly invited us to be their guests. During the 5 days we stayed at Poona, I preached 5 times. At 11 o'clock on April the 21st, we left Poona and arrived at Bombay, our last station in India, on the 22nd at 7 a.m. Here again, Christian love had provided for us a pleasant resting place at the house of Captain and Mrs. Hutchison, with whom we stayed till May 2nd. While the day of our embarkation to the Indus for England. While at Bombay, I preached 6 times, held 2 meetings, besides for missionaries and other Christian workers, and addressed 150 educated natives also. On board the Indus, I preached once and spoke also at a reading meeting. During the whole of the long Indian missionary tour, though about 2 months were taken up by the voyage and journey to and fro, and though the excessive heat obliged me to consider my health occasionally, yet I was enabled to preach altogether 206 times. In looking back on this long missionary tour of 21,000 miles, I praise God for having given me the great honor in my 79th year of not only in a little measure honor laboring myself in the vast country of India among the heathen, but also of strengthening in God the hands of our dear missionary brethren and sisters, as well as those of other Christian workers. This latter service I always keep particularly before me in all my missionary tours, for all that God has allowed me to accomplish. On this, my 10th great missionary tour, I praise and adore and magnify Him. 11th tour, England and Wales, from August 18th to October the 2nd, 1884. On August 18th, 1884, we went from Bristol to Leominster, and afterwards visited Hartford, Tenby, and several other cities. And after I had held meetings at these places, on October the 2nd, 1884, we returned to Bristol. 12th tour, England, from May 16th to July 1st, 1885. On May 16th, 1885, we left Bristol and went to Wellington in Shropshire, where I held 9 meetings altogether. We fully intended to go to Dublin and afterwards to visit Belfast and Londonderry in the north of Ireland in order that I might conduct services in those cities also. But having become very unwell through a violent cold I caught while preaching at Wellington, I was strongly advised to visit the Isle of Wight in order to rest there instead of laboring for the Lord in Ireland. On June the 10th, therefore, we went to Ryde, stayed there until the 17th, and then went to Sandown, where we remained until July the 1st. When, through the Lord's kindness and the careful nursing of my beloved wife, having become quite well again, we returned to Bristol. 13th tour, England, from September 1st to October 3rd, 1885. On September 1st, 1885, we left Bristol, went to Windermere, and afterwards visited Ambleside, Dundee, and Liverpool, returning at the close of my service for the Lord to Bristol, where we arrived on October the 3rd after a short tour only. 14th tour, Australia, China, Japan, and the Straits of Malacca, from November 4th, 1885, to June 13th, 1887. On November 4th, 1885, Mrs. Mueller and I left Bristol, embarking on board the steamship Germanicus. We crossed the Atlantic and landed at New York on the 28th of November, after rather a rough voyage. When my service for the Lord at New York had terminated, we started on December the 19th for San Francisco in California, and traveling across the whole continent of North America for 6 days and nights in succession, on the morning of Christmas Day, we reached San Francisco. On December the 31st, we sailed for Sydney, New South Wales, landed early on the morning of January 7th, 1886, at Honolulu in Aloha, on the Sandwich Islands, took a drive to Pila, and setting off again on our voyage across the Pacific. In the evening, we disembarked at Sydney on January the 23rd. At Sydney, I labored in the